In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear faithful, when our Lord was in the midst of his Sermon on the Mount, he decided to take some time to instruct the people on how they were to pray. And this is what he said to them. When you pray, go into your room, and closing your door, pray to your Father in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. But in praying, do not multiply words as the Gentiles do, for they think that by saying a great deal, they will be heard. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, shall you pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What is very interesting about this short passage of the gospel is that our Lord mentions that God is our Father four times in this short space. He's not referring to the first person of the Trinity. When we say the Our Father, we are addressing God, the Holy Trinity. When our Lord addresses the Father, he is addressing the first person because he proceeds from the first person as the Word. When we address God as Father, we are addressing the whole Trinity. So, Almighty God is our Father in heaven. He created us. He takes care of us. He is the source of everything for us. He wants us to join him in heaven. He is my Father because he created me. He is your Father because he created you. He is our Father because he created all that exists in this world. And this fact that we refer to God as our Father has huge implications for us as Catholics. And there are many implications, but I just want to bring out three of them today. The first implication is that obviously we do not worship the same God as the Muslims. The Muslims are distinguished by the fact that they reject the Trinity. They think it's an abomination to speak of God as a Father, that God has a Son within the Trinity. So God for them is Allah, and Allah is not a father. He has no son within himself, and he does not adopt us as his sons by the life of sanctifying grace. For them, God is not their father, but he's only a supreme master who binds them to follow his will because he has all power, and they must submit to him, or else they will have terrible consequences. And so they must give this blind submission to an overlord, to a supreme master, not to a father. The main thing for them is submission, whereas the main thing for us is union. We want to unite ourselves with our Father in heaven. They seek to attain an unthinking submission to Allah. The meaning of the word Islam is submission, and that sums up their religion, and their relationship to God. This is why the words of the Vatican II Declaration Nostra Aetate are so shocking when it says, the Church regards with esteem the Muslims. They adore the one God, living and subsisting in himself, merciful and all-powerful, the creator of heaven and earth, who has spoken to men. When it says they adore the one God, it implies that they adore the same God that we adore, when in fact they do not. They adore a non-triune God, and we adore a triune God. They adore a God who is not a father. We adore a God who is a father. And the implication is that thinking of God as Allah leads to good results, as well as thinking of God as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They're both good. When, of course, this is completely and utterly false. The implications of thinking of God as Allah are terrible. And we underestimate how much of a beneficial impact it has on us as Catholics to have our Catholic notion of God as being our Father. Huge benefit to us in our relationship with God. The second thing that I want to point out is precisely this, that it is the will of God that we think of him as Father and that we relate to him as our Father. you know that God does not have a gender. God is neither male nor female. He possesses all the perfections of what we refer to as masculinity and all the possessions of femininity. He transcends all the perfections of the created order. He possesses all perfections in himself, not just one or another of the perfections. But he especially, even though he possesses all perfections, he especially wants us to think about him and relate to him as our Father. The Father is the active principle of generation, and the first thing he wants us to think about is that he is the active cause of our existence. He is the reason why we exist. And just as fathers here below, he's given to fathers to be the active principle of generation, so too, because God is the active principle in our creation, he creates us, he makes us from nothing, he wants us to refer to him as Father, to think of him as Father. But St. Thomas Aquinas, when he's commenting on the Our Father and these incredible words, which the Mass says we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, he points out that we call God our Father, whereas God is not really the Father of the non-human creation, like the grasshoppers and the rabbits and so on. He would not probably be called their Father, because a father begets something like to himself. And it was God's decision to create us human beings in his image and likeness. That's why he is our Father. A father begets someone like to himself. It's only then you can call a father. So if you make a chair, you wouldn't be the father of the chair. But when you beget a son, you are the father of son, because the son is like unto you. And God chose to create us by giving us an immortal soul, an immaterial soul. God is pure spirit, and he gives us a purely spiritual part, our immortal soul. And in that sense, he creates us in his very likeness, and we are his children, and he is our Father. But you know that God was not content stopping there. He wanted to take it a step farther, and even to give us a participation in his own divine nature. This is what happens when we receive the life of grace. We have the Holy Trinity dwelling within us, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We are able to participate in the very life of God. And you know that God calls us through this supernatural life to live with him forever, that he makes heaven our true home, and he wants there to be this great family reunion, we could say, in heaven forever after this life is over. These are the actions of a loving father for his children. Because God is our Father, says St. Thomas, we owe him four things. We must honor our Father in heaven. We must seek to imitate him, to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. We must obey him. And lastly, we must be patient with him when he chastises us. These four things that we do toward God are simply the dispositions of a child towards his father. These are acts of piety of a child towards his father. Honor, imitation, obedience, and patience. The third consequence of the fact that God is our Father that I want to point out today is that fathers, human fathers, have a very elevated and noble role. If God has chosen that he wants us to relate to him as Father, what that means is that human fathers have a huge impact on how their children perceive God. Because your children kneel down and say, Our Father who art in heaven. And then they say you, and they say, This is my Father here. Then necessarily they are going to form their idea of who God is based on how their father behaves towards them. This is an incredible impact that the father has. If the father is strong, kind, firm, patient, loving, sacrificial, possessed of self-control. They will think of God in the same way, and it'll be easy for them to love God. If the father is lazy, on the other hand, impure, selfish, irritable, irresponsible, they will find it very difficult to love God, to form the proper notion of God. When they think of Father, they're somehow going to have to create a separate idea for God than they have of their own father. As I say, Father Palayarani, in his letter to fathers, has some profound words to fathers, especially about their interaction with their wife and how the way that they treat their wife gives a message, a very clear message to their children, and has an impact on whether or not their children choose a vocation, pursue a vocation. This is the essence of his beautiful letter. One of the terrible realities of the world today is there's this crisis of paternity. There are 1 in 4 children in the United States who have no father figure at all in their life. And of the remaining 3 out of 4, we know that a lot of the father figures are not good. They're not good representations, good models of what a father should be. And this creates a crisis in society. It creates a metastasizing problem because of the fact that if you grow up without a father figure, or you grow up with a father who's not a good representation of fatherhood, then it's hard for you to form your proper identity, form your self-confidence, to then be able to go on and raise your own children. The tendency is that this problem will perpetuate itself if the children do not have a good role model. Then when they become fathers or mothers, they are likely much less likely to be a good role model for their own children. So, dear fathers, do not underestimate the great influence that you have and the great good that you can do by being good traditional Catholic fathers. You have a huge, huge impact upon your children. I just want to leave you with the beautiful story of a saint who died on this day in 1601. Her feast day is today. She's not on the universal calendar. Saint Germain Cousin of the town of Pibrac in France, because she shows us the example of someone who was able to overcome this problem of not having a good father precisely through her devotion to her Heavenly Father. A very beautiful story. When she was born, she was deformed. Her right arm and right hand did not work properly. They were deformed. And her mother died in her infancy. Her father quickly remarried. The stepmother was a wicked stepmother, despised her because of her deformities. And then when the stepmother had her own children, she would encourage her own children to ridicule Germain. And eventually she couldn't even tolerate the presence of Germain, forced her to basically live in the family barn. They didn't feed her properly. She just had basically the scraps from the table. And all of us expect the story to develop by Germain developing a complex, becoming suicidal, etc., etc. This is not what happened. Something incredible happened. Saint Germain, in all of her time as a shepherdess, she developed this burning love for her Heavenly Father, a deep interior life. She loved God so much, even in spite of all her sufferings, that she found it hard to get through the Our Father. When she first pronounced those words, Our Father, she would stop. And it would just overwhelm her, this thought that God was her Father, that she would find it hard to continue to pray the rest of the prayer. Because of her holiness, because of her great love, Germain's Father in Heaven blessed her greatly. He gave her the power of working miracles. This deformed shepherd girl was able to have her guardian angel watch over her sheep when she went to Mass, and then she loved Mass so much that God gave her the power of parting the river when the river was swollen, the local river. When the rains were coming and the river was high, people would say, well, Germaine's not going to make it to Mass today. That's what the villagers were saying. And then she was there at Mass. They discovered she was actually parting the river and walking across. Saint Germain would spend time speaking to the village children about the love of God their Father for them. I guess God loved her so much that he wanted her to be with him soon. He called her to heaven when she was just 22. And he wanted to give her a special mark of his affection for her, a witness to the world of the goodness of her life. And so he took her deformed body after she died and made sure that it did not see corruption. They dug the body up because there's so many miracles happening as a result of her intercession after her death. They dug her body up 43 years after her death, and it was completely preserved. It was incorrupt. So, my dear faithful, let us remember today that we have a Father in heaven who loves us very much, especially during this month of the Sacred Heart. Let us excite in ourselves these affections of love towards our Heavenly Father, being grateful for all of his goodness to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.